Public Library Board of Trustees meeting, September 11th at 7 p.m. Roll call.
Yes. Milsuski?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
Reifstech?
Here.
Schumacher?
Here.
Hedman?
Here.
And Pessoa?
Here.
Thank you.
We have visitors. We have a few visitors today, as well as our director. Everyone is signed in. Okay. Amendments to the agenda. We have one amendment to the agenda, and we're going to move the new business Board of Trustees oath of office up until the amendments to the agenda. So that's going to be the first thing on the item tonight. And then we'll go into our regular business. Okay? Any objections? Any? Okay. So our secretary, Rosie, is going to, we're all going to stand as a board and do our oath of office together. Okay. Okay. So raise that right hand.
Am I reading it to them, Charlie?
No, we're going to all read it.
Okay, we're going to read it together.
Okay. Ready? I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of the Yorkville Public Library Trustee according to the best of my ability. And if everyone could go ahead and sign, and then we will have our secretary pass down to our secretary.
Sure.
Okay. Our next item on the agenda tonight is presentations. And we have Amanda Standifer from Fast Forward Libraries, LLC, with us tonight on Zoom. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, everybody. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you very well.
Okay, great. I would love to be able to share my screen if that's something I could be made co-host. Thank you very much. Okay, great. Are you guys ready for me to start?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, awesome. So, hi, everybody. My name is Amanda Standifer, and I'm a librarian and consultant. I'm based in Champaign, Illinois, although I grew up in the Joliet area. I used to frequent the Silver Spring State Park. I used to take my old English sheepdog to walk there a long time ago. I'm excited to talk with you tonight about strategic planning for your library. Shelley attended a learning circle that I did on strategic planning over the summer, and I think was interested in the process and wanted to learn more, so I had given her a proposal for you all to review, and I want to just kind of walk through it and then answer any questions that you have. So let me share my screen and start with why. You may be wondering why your library needs a strategic plan, and I think that strategic planning is one of the most important things that organizations can do. It's your roadmap for the future. You, as trustees, need to have something that helps you make decisions for how you allocate resources, whether that's time, money, staff, for achieving the impact that you want to have in the community that you serve. The staff want to know, what are we going to be working on over the next 3 to 5 years? What initiatives does the library have planned? How will I be part of that? And then the community wants to know that you are spending their tax dollars, their investment wisely. So that your strategic plan is really the document that communicates all of that, guides all of that. And I think, you know, if you use it in a living way as part of what you do every day at the library, it becomes part of how you evolve as an organization and you grow and you talk about the future that you want to have for your library and for your community. The process that I usually propose is 3 phases. The first phase is the learn phase, and it's the longest, but maybe the most important important because this is where you're going to spend time getting community feedback through a survey and focus groups and interviews. You're going to get internal feedback through some initial sessions with the board and the staff, and also a survey from the board and staff. And then also looking at things like demographic changes in your community. I know, when I drive up your way, things have changed so much from when I was in high school, that I've been working with Aurora Public Library as well, and just looking at how their communities change. I know you're, adjacent there. So though that demographic information is really important to think about, what community needs might come out of some of those shifts in your population. But also looking at library trends in your data as well. How are people using the library now? How has that changed in the last couple of years? Because certainly the pandemic has disrupted things. And so this first phase is really where we're listening, we're learning, and at the end of this phase, we put together a report that we call a learning report. This is intended to inform discussions in the second phase of the process, which I call the dream phase. This is where we take that data and then we add our lived experience. So we can say, what does this mean when the community says they're interested in this, or who didn't we hear from in the community that we need to do more outreach with? So we have those conversations at retreat sessions, one with the staff, one with the board. Sometimes we can do multiple staff sessions if we need to split people up in order to keep the library running as well, or sometimes we do this on a staff day. But these discussions, usually over a 3-hour period, are where we really start to build the elements of the plan. And then in the last phase of the process, which I call the do phase, that's where everything comes together. So we'll outline the plan, review it with the planning team, that's been kind of shepherding the process the whole time. That's usually several board and staff members present that plan to the board to give kind of a final revision, refinement, and then start working on implementation, because you don't want to go through this process and then not do anything with your plan. You want to make sure that you've got the tools that will help Shelley and the rest of the staff really guide that implementation. So we're talking about having an activity plan that guides kind of the day-to-day annual work that staff will be doing, and sometimes the board are involved in certain activities as well, an evaluation framework so that you are ensuring that you're measuring the success of the plan, your progress at least towards the goals that you've set out, and then also talking about reporting and what's the timeline for reporting that success and who are the various stakeholders as well. So in the end, your plan kind of looks like this. You've got your vision, which is that statement that articulates your hopes for your community, your aspirations for your community, and then your mission, which is the statement that says, here's the work we're going to do as a library in order to achieve that vision, or at least try to get closer to that vision that we see for the community. Then you've got strategic directions, and I've got 3 here on the screen, but it can be anywhere from 2 to 5, probably not more than 5, you don't want to, burn yourselves out, but usually around 3 strategic directions. Those are kind of big buckets of areas of priority, and then you've got individual goals within that, activities that support your goals, and then, of course, underpinning your entire plan are those metrics of measuring your progress, the success, how you're achieving your goals, and then reporting on that success as well. As I mentioned, it's difficult sometimes to transition from planning to implementation. This is where, if you've maybe been involved in a strategic planning process in the past, you can kind of get stalled out here because you've had a process for developing the plan and you need a process for how you're going to implement the plan. And so, again, we help with that transition from planning to implementation by developing that draft activity plan, by talking about evaluation and reporting. The library still has work to do because you will be the ones kind of carrying forward and making sure you're doing those activities, measuring, gathering the data. But we provide some templates and talk about that process so it hopefully makes it as easy as possible, because transition is going to be tough. We all know that. Okay, that was really quick and fast, but a very just high-level view of how I approach strategic planning. I would love to answer any questions that you have.
I think one of the questions that came up last time is you propose a la carte or an actual doing the entire plan. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So in your proposal, I gave you kind of like option one, option two, staff-led versus consultant-led. And I think it kind of comes down to your budget and what your interest, what your staff capacity is as well, too. So I'm happy to kind of like, hey, we want to do a survey, but not the focus group, or we're going to do the survey ourselves, but you can come in and do the focus group. Where it gets a little tricky is then developing the learning report. If I have not been the one gathering all of the data, I need access to the data so I can develop the learning report. Sometimes maybe just giving the raw data to the board and the staff is enough. So again, it kind of depends on what you want to do, what your budget is, what your staff capacity is. And then really in the last phase of the process, you know, putting the documents together, I have plenty of examples that I can provide. And, you know, after maybe having an outline of the plan, staff can kind of take it from there to actually write the full plan. I think where, and I said this during the learning circle that Shelley participated in, I feel like smaller libraries really get their bang for their buck having someone outside facilitate those retreat sessions, because you know, it's just a different take. I can ask questions maybe that just from other libraries I know kind of help the conversation. So if you were thinking like, well, we're going to gather our data internally ourselves, you know, share it with Amanda, have her come do the retreats, but then we're going to write the plan, something like that's absolutely doable. We would just need to figure out what that looks like.
You indicated that you work with some of the closer local libraries. What did you say, Aurora was one of them?
I've been working with Aurora. I actually just had a meeting with them today. I've also worked with Green Rivers. I worked with Bolingbrook. I worked with to the south of you guys, South Old Bridge, which is Braidwood. I live a little further south of you. I worked a lot in the Chicago suburbs. I've worked down the state with some smaller libraries, Carlock, which is kind of like Bloomington, Sylvis, which is over in the Quad Cities. Also worked a lot in Michigan and really all over the country.
I know some of the board members had questions on last month. Did you guys want to pose those questions to her that you remember that you had from last month? This is why she's here today.
Sure. So if you did facilitate, let's say you came in to do the staff facilitation sessions, what would the deliverables from the facilitation look like specifically?
Yeah, so if I just did the retreat sessions, I would provide the notes from all of those sessions. And then probably, and again, this would be based on what you all want, a draft outline of the plan. So it wouldn't be, you know, anything formal or really detail-heavy. It would just kind of be, here's where I see the strategic directions and goals, like possible language that you could use, and then you could take that and kind of further develop it from that.
Any other questions from any other board members?
If we were to do a community survey, so it would just be that we wanted to utilize you for the question set, that would be kind of the $200.
Yes.
Again, if we facilitate that survey.
Yes, okay. I'm happy to provide examples for that rate and then also review your final survey. We've done, you know, 20 surveys in the last, sorry, a small dog in the background. I've done about 20 surveys in the last couple of years, and so we've learned a lot and can definitely share, you know, kind of best practices and things to do, to not do, how to get the word out about the survey. Happy to, you know, work with Shelley or staff on anything like that if you all were going to do the survey on your own.
And if we had, let's say we... I know that we still have to make a decision as a board. We decided to have someone like from the board help lead this. Would you work with them to, if that's the case that we decide to do, would you work with them on ensuring that, you know, meet the whatever it is that we decided we're going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the consultant-led, I'm sorry, the staff-led option is there so that, you know, I would kind of be more in the background just as a resource, and I would be happy to work with, like, Shelley and a board member kind of in tandem. Where it gets expensive is if I'm the one trying to, like, coordinate a committee and, like, doing all of the work, that's extra time for me that, you know, if it's staff-led, the staff needs to take someone, doesn't matter if it's staff or board, needs to take the lead on that kind of thing. But I'm happy to, you know, kind of, especially email support is super easy for me to do, you know, just respond as I have time or whatever. But yeah, I'm happy to work with board, staff, whoever.
I think, you know, a big part of strategic planning is finding out what we don't know and learning kind of what's out there and what's happening at other libraries and what are trends. At what point would that information kind of be brought in as part of the discussion?
Yeah. So I didn't, as part of your proposal, include any kinds of sector trend research. That's something that I typically only do for larger libraries. I could share what I've done for some other libraries. I mean, that is, I would have to check with those libraries because it's their intellectual property. But for smaller libraries, we typically look more local with demographic trends. We do like a look at the 2010 census, the 2020. We can even get more updated than 2020 at this point. We look at your internal data trends, and of course, you know, you'll have the COVID dip and like, where are you at now? We then, you know, use the community feedback tools to try to get like users and people who care about you through the survey, because that's who's going to spend the time filling out a survey, and then the focus groups and interviews to really reach people maybe that you're not hearing from, so like targeting specific organizations maybe that could help you connect with some non-users. It's really, really difficult to hear from non-users. They just don't have any incentive or vested interest in giving you feedback. They don't have anything to say.
Right.
However, you can, you know, again, work through some partners to try to, you know, get groups of people together maybe that you're not as connected with.
But I guess as far as, and I'm not as concerned about regional, I mean, obviously we are concerned about regional information as far as what we do our planning, but I'm talking more of, you know, for something to show up on a community survey, the community has to think of it and realize that that's, you know, an option in the environment. I'm talking as far as, you know, we attend, you know, ILA and ALA and understand kind of what the trends are as far as modernization and services in libraries, but at what point in the strategic plan discussion do kind of the fresh ideas that might not be out in the community, that might not be in the internal staff, get brought into the process?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And sometimes through the survey, we can test some of those ideas. So, for example, I don't know if you have a makerspace or not, or if you're even thinking about a makerspace, or a library of things, or a seed library, or things like that. You could put a question in that says, how interested are you in, you know, these certain things that maybe you're considering? Because you're right, like, people just won't naturally think about that. Unless they've gone to other libraries that have those kinds of things, and then they're like, why don't we do this? So it's really during the retreat sessions where, again, your lived experience being part of the library sector, the staff's experience being there every day, that you take that learning and you say, well, this has been interesting, but, you know, nobody mentioned this thing. You know, how would we know that somebody, that the community might want cave pans, for example, or, you know, that they want to check out Chromebooks or whatever it is. And so it's during the retreats that you're able to kind of talk about, like, what's working now, and then how do we use this data to inform what's working in the future, what might work in the future.
And do you, if you lead those discussions, do you bring any of those trends and any of that information into those discussions, or is it responsible, is it more of our group and our study that would produce that?
Yeah, it's really more of you, your group and your study. I mean, again, I didn't include any kind of sector research as part of the learning report. And you know your community best, and if you're keeping up on those trends, I would fully expect those things to come out naturally. They almost always do. What's right for a neighboring library may not be right for you. So I see myself as a facilitator, not a consultant in the sense that I'm going to come in and tell you what to do. I'm going to facilitate the conversation. I'm going to ask questions. But it's really kind of up to you during those discussions to shape the plan.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to see if anyone has any other questions to pose.
This, so the plan is this 3 to 5 years, was that what we talked about?
Yes.
Are we 5 years? I mean, I guess, what's, I mean, can we define that better?
Yeah, so 3 years is kind of standard right now. In fact, a lot of libraries are actually only doing 2-year plans, but the way that we rate our plans is very evergreen, and what that means is that the goals are focused in that they are within a certain priority area, but they're broad enough that you can make changes. changes using your activity plan to respond to, you know, changes in the community or maybe new trends that are emerging. So your goals should be good for 3 to 5 years. What I recommend and what a lot of libraries do is that after the 3-year period, they'll do like another community survey or they'll have a focus group or something to kind of check in, like, is this working, you know? What have people noticed? And then, again, continue to use those activity plans to be flexible, to respond, so that you're not rewriting your plan every couple of years. You've got this plan that is specific but broad. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but if you read a plan that's written in an evergreen way, it's compelling and meaningful, but then you use your activity plan to do the specific things that programs, collections, that will have that impact in the community.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Amanda, I think, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Do you have a question? No?
No.
Well, the board will continue to convene on this topic, and we will get with Shelley and let her know which direction as we continue our talks.
So great. Really, thank you so much.
Thank you
if
so
you
much.
If you have other questions, please feel free to say how Shelley reach out.
Okay. Thank you.
You
so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. If next item, we're going to approval of the minutes. If you could please review, we had a personnel committee meeting and then our regular board of trustees meeting and a policy committee meeting. And then we had a special board meeting as well. Thank you.
Motion to approve the minutes. Personnel Committee, August 14th. The board meeting for August 14th. The public committee, the policy committee meeting for August 23rd, and the special meeting for August 28th, as written.
Second. Roll call.
Ready. Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Fasola?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Correspondence?
I have one correspondent. It's a letter of resignation, but it's addressed to me and a board member, so I thought I would read it to you.
Okay.
This was for a part-time person. Thank you very much for the privilege of working at the Yorkville Public Library these past years. I've enjoyed all of my time here and various roles I had the opportunity to fulfill. Front desk, adult reference, administrative assistant, and teaching arts and craft classes for children, youth, and adults, especially the maker classes. Unfortunately, family health issues require that I step away from these activities for an indeterminate time. Therefore, at this time, I am tendering my resignation with much sadness. I will continue to support the library, its patrons, its staff, and its programs as I am able during the days ahead, including through the friends and program participation as I'm available. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I will miss everyone. Suzanne Zobel.
Okay. Thank you. At this time is our public comment. Michael Krimsky.
Hello, good evening. Tonight you swore an oath to uphold the Illinois and United States Constitution, and you agreed, promised, and swore an oath before God that I, we the people, have the authority to give you instruction as seen in Article 1, Section 5 of the Illinois Constitution. You swore to vote without favor, partiality, prejudice, nor vote to assert any policy that shall be injurious to the people. The maxims of law say that good faith is required when oaths are given and that failure to do so is punishable by law. The maxims of laws are the accepted truths upon which our judicial system is based. Maxim of law, good faith must be observed. Maxim of law, good faith demands that what is agreed upon shall be done. Maxim of law, faith must be observed. An agent must not violate the confidence reposed in him. Maximum of law, an oath is indivisible. It is not to be held partially true or partially false. Maximum of law, punishment is due if the words of an oath be false. Maximum of law, to swear an oath is to call God to witness and is an act of religion. Maximum of law, that which is against divine law is repugnant to society and void. Maximum of law, the government is to be subject to the law, for the law makes the government. Maximum of law, obedience makes the government, not the name by which it is called. All government of right or originates with the people. As one of the trustees and servants of the people, please take your oaths of office seriously, and please take the time to read and study the documents you just swore to uphold. Thank you.
Molly Krimsky.
Hi. Congratulations on being sworn in tonight. That's a big step in the right direction for this board. I gave you guys some packets, the bags there. In there is a copy of the Constitution of the State of Illinois. That's one of the documents that you swore to tonight. And as you're reading through it, I'm just going to ask you to pay special attention to a couple of things. The first thing you'll see on page 4 is the preamble. The preamble states the purpose for the rest of the document. It says that Illinois was formed for the purposes of seeking God's blessings. And then on page 5 is the first article. That's the Bill of Rights, similar to the Bill of Rights that you find in the U.S. Constitution. A couple of things that would be really pertinent to this setting would be section 3. It states that personal beliefs cannot be used as an excuse for dispensing of oaths or to promote licentiousness. And then section 20, there's 24 sections of this Bill of Rights. Section 20 is another one that you might want to be familiar with. It prohibits communications that portray depravity or lack of virtue. The other thing that's in there on the backside, you'll be able to see there's an article from the president of the ALA, the American Library Association. She is a self-proclaimed lesbian Marxist. And the issue with that is that we're looking at policy from this organization, and Marxism is completely incompatible with a constitutional republic. And so in town, we have all of these boards that are either elected or they're appointed, and they're representatives of the people. And you guys are the line. You stand in the gap for us to represent us when these consultants will come in or these agencies will come in, and they'll start pushing stuff on you that's not compatible with the oath that you took tonight. And we're counting on you to stand up against that kind of stuff. And you have a higher obligation to that oath than you do to someone who's just coming in who hasn't taken an oath and is just suggesting things to you. I know there's issues with this law that essentially amounts to extortion, with Pritzker pushing things on us and saying we can't have any state funding if we don't adopt everything exactly as he has stated it. And Mike was at the policy meeting last month where trustees were told they couldn't make any changes to the policy, and that you guys are appointed to make policy, to make changes to policy for us. And that's something we want to talk about. We want to talk about how much funding we are getting from the state, how much our kids are worth. So those are all conversations that may need to happen. The third thing in your packet is this page that poses a question. Was the oath sworn by trustees taken into consideration when adopting the material selection policy for this library? And actually, the oath wasn't even taken at this time. But now that it is, are we going to consider your higher obligation to uphold the Illinois and U.S. constitutions before we take any of these materials and we filter them through this selection process that you have already established? And then there's just a flow chart on there that you can look at that makes it easy, a copy of the oath that you just took, the highlighted parts in the state constitution that I was hoping that you would pay extra attention to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maureen Primsky.
I'm just going to read from this packet, the last page, just the question and answers portion. Question number one. By whose standard do we define the terms licentiousness, depravity, and lack of virtue contained in the Illinois Constitution? Answer. We define these terms by the standard of the God designated in the preamble to the Illinois Constitution, whose blessing we seek. We see some of these concepts summarized as lewdness in Illinois legal codes. Black's Law Dictionary, the most frequently used legal dictionary in the United States, provides definitions for licentiousness and lewdness. Black's Law definitions agree with God's law. Question number two, to which God do the U.S. and Illinois constitutions refer? Answer, America was founded for the purposes of freely worshiping the Creator God of the Bible, free of any state-controlled denominational encumbrances. Question, must I worship the God of the Bible to live or govern in America? Answer, no. The constitutions of this land protect the individual's right to worship any God they choose. However, America's public spaces are governed by the moral laws of the God of the Bible. Public servants take an oath to uphold these moral laws by swearing to state and federal constitutions. Last question. Can materials that infringe upon the rights protected by the U.S. and Illinois constitutions be included in the library's collection if the majority of staff or the majority of patrons in the district favor the material? No. America is a constitutional republic, not a democracy. The U.S. and Illinois constitutions are binding express trusts of which you are trustee and the people are beneficiaries. By taking the oath to uphold them, you have already agreed to the terms of the Constitution and to the laws of God, just as our founders did. Oaths taken to uphold these documents cannot be dispensed of once sworn. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is Friends of the Library report.
I don't really have much to report because we didn't meet today. We postponed our meeting until next Monday. But I will tell you that the used book sale made over $8,000, which was great. And then we gave the rest of the books, instead of having a summer's end sale, we donated the books to the public so anybody could come in and take what was left of the books after the sale, and I think that was pretty well received. I don't remember, do you remember how many boxes we started out with, Shelley? Like 100?
I don't, but yeah. Okay. Judy had said that she estimated that the free event gave away approximately 4,000 books.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that was well received. That was, we put out a note to the community and thanked them for all their support over the years, and so I think that was well received by everybody here, so we're pleased with how it came out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Staff comments? Report of the treasurer.
Okay. Nothing really big on our list this month, I guess. We have our last, Shelley pointed out our last water cleaning bill. So, with that in mind, I'd like to make a motion to approve the bill list as presented with a total accounts payable in the amount of $16,202.04. And payroll in an amount of $39,157,000 for total disbursements of $55,359.04.
Second. Roll call.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Excuse me. Hedman?
Yes.
Hasola?
Yes.
And Milshewski?
Yes.
Report from our library director.
I won't go down all of the upcoming programs, but these are just a list of, on page 27, special programs that are coming up this month. One of these was a connection that I made with someone at our Chamber of Commerce meeting. So she's doing Your Friend in Health and Wellness series. So she's doing some presentations for us for free. We do have a beekeeping one. I find that one interesting. That's on Wednesday, September 20th. We will also be part of the story walk event that's going on that day as well, Wednesday, September 20th, at the Heartland Circle Park story walk. The Yorkville Education Foundation is heading that up, and we were part of that last year with their kickoff celebration, so they're going to be doing a fall event from 4:30 to 6:30. We are having our ukulele band back, not our band, Phoenix Brothers Ukulele Band. They've probably been here now five times or so. That will be Thursday, October 5th at 5 o'clock. We did have, not just us, but citywide, we experienced some Metronet internet issues this last week. So that was off and on.
Yes.
Seems to be better now. As Jackie said, we started our new cleaning company on September 1st. We saw them come in. We hosted for the Hometown Days. Parks and Rec had asked us to host the musical entertainment on Friday. We hosted the location, so they had like a place to hang out before they performed on Friday, and that was just an interesting, fun vibe to have them all in and out of the library that day. I wanted to show you this book. Was written by one of our staff members during NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo is a national
novel writing month.
It's done in November of every year. So they challenge you to write 50,000 words in November. So he wrote this in 1 month. What it started out as was an article that this is Mike Curtis. He's the director of adult services. It started out as an article that his kids found about 80 sandwiches around the world. And his kids came to him and said, "Can we do this?" So they tweaked it and made it their own, and they mapped out the world in segments and came up with, I think he said 200 and some sandwiches, but narrowed it down to 80, and they created them. Sometimes they would go out for them. Sometimes they would make them themselves, and they had to source the ingredients through Amazon sometimes. They had to order bread from, I can't remember where he said now, some country, a couple of times. So it's really quite interesting, but it's not just a story about sandwiches. It's a story about his journey of self-discovery as well. So he's got a great sense of humor, and his footnotes are very funny as well. So he donated a copy for the library, but this one's mine. So I've read it, and I'd like to read it.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so he would never tell anybody that
he wrote the
he
book.
Did this, yes. But yeah, so I'm going to. We had two new part-time staff members start this month, so we're at 23 total employees. But we also had two resignations for Suzanne and a young college student that finished college and now has a teaching degree and has gone on and let's see here. We received a donation of 12 cases of hand sanitizer from the police department. They got a phone call that they had a big pallet of it. And so Jim called and says, do you need any? So they brought it right over. So we have hand sanitizer for the next
for flu season. Yes.
Just a reminder that the library will be closed on Friday, September 29th, and that's for staff to attend Club Day for training, Club Day training. That is it.
Okay. We did have a standing meeting. The policy committee met, and we can report on that. But we will be going over some of those policies in new business.
Yes.
I'm finished. Did you want to do a report on that?
We are going to be improving the policies this evening.
Unfinished business HVAC update. What do we have, Shelley?
Actually, nothing new to report, so that's good. That's good. Trico will be here tomorrow with Ted to start inspecting all the PAPs and equipment up in the ceiling as well. So that is really it for the update on that, which is good. Good news.
Okay. So then we're back to our strategic plan discussion. We had the presenter today, Ms. Amanda. I know that we discussed this last month and we wanted to get more information. At this time, we can discuss further and take action as to what steps we would like to take, or we would like to continue to make a discussion on this as a board. Did you guys have an opportunity to review her proposal? I know the last month we talked about whether we would want to do this as an in-house starting the planning process and then possibly having her come alongside once we put together the planning team. And I don't know how everybody feels about
that. Did we identify available funding for this proposal?
Did we identify it yet?
In our budget.
Shelley?
Well, we never budgeted for
a strategic plan.
A strategic plan, no.
But
We have savings from the cleaning company that would help offset this cost.
Meaning that we no longer.
Meaning that we won't be going over in our professional services line.
And that will fall under professional services. Go ahead.
Do we have a total?
From one to the other, yeah, $38,000.
And this this plan, with, as far as timeline goes, it's broken into three phases. So more than likely we wouldn't see all of, like if we started this year, we'd have some costs this year, some next year, right?
We wouldn't expend it all in 1 year. I mean, depending on how we actually decide as a board how we want to go about the process. As far as the planning team, that's something that we could do as a board, decide on the planning team and appoint a lead person for the planning team that would get us started. And then as they move forward with that, I would suggest bringing in the consultant after we start with the planning team. Jason, do you have anything you want to say on that?
No, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking is getting started and figuring out kind of where we need to plug in extra resources. My feeling, you know, I was kind of hoping, just in speaking with her, that her perspective in working with so many different libraries and going through this process, I think to bring in outside information would have been really valuable, but it doesn't sound like that's a big component of it. It's more just a facilitation, which I think that gets down to resources, right? Do we have the resources locally or internally to facilitate the discussions if we're not really bringing external knowledge and expertise into the discussion? I don't see a whole lot of value from that standpoint. I think, obviously, the community needs assessment is critical to taking it off. And then after that, I think establishing what the what she labels as the dream phase, what we need from a resource standpoint after the survey, and then again, based on what we have after all of those meetings, do we need extra resources to pull together the plan or the documentation?
Or do we do it?
Yeah.
Right. So.
Now, this consultant is on our Rails list of highly respected consultants. You guys did ask me to do a reference check.
Yes,
I did talk to four other libraries, and they all say the same thing. Highly recommended, very professional. And they were all over the board with the type of work they had her do for them. So some were all in,
okay.
Some were just a portion. But all of them said the same thing, that they liked and it was worth the money spent.
Whether it was the low cost or the high cost, mm-hmm. Whether they used her for the full implementation from beginning to end and then a la carte, everyone still felt that the monies were worth it.
Yes, yep. So one of the notes from Fossil Bridge was, because I asked, is there anything you would change, add, remove from her service? They said, prepare your staff if patrons decide to comment on the survey, as it's shared with staff in the end, some of the comments are not helpful, but overall borderline mean is what they said here. So just to prepare your staff for, you know, you get negative
right.
comments, and
yes.
you have to learn to accept those
yes.
and really open your eyes to those and be understanding and maybe change something.
I
just found that interesting.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, Rosie and I were talking, you know, this learn phase, it's a huge, that I think that's the biggest, it's $11,300 to have her do it. If Shelley is working with her, I would say spend the money on the learn phase. The dream phase costs the same amount of money whether we use her as a consultant or not, so use her as a consultant for the $6,900. Now, the do phase looks to me like something that we could maybe do ourselves, but I don't know. I mean, that's $400 versus $4,200. But for the most part, I think those first two phases, I would spend the money. The scope of this project is massive, and we already We've got your part-time employees leaving because they're not paid enough. There's no way that they would have enough time to be working on that. So for me, I would say at least for the first two phases, you pay for option one. Again, the dream stage, you're paying the same price regardless. So have her input for the dream stage too. The due, this is kind of easy.
I started to create a community survey based on, she gave me several examples, mm-hmm. and then I pulled from other libraries what they've done as well. So I have a draft of one. If when we form the plan committee, we could look at that. That maybe we don't have to utilize that portion of it.
I would just say take your lead on it. Whatever you would recommend, I would probably follow suit.
One thing that I noticed is when you look at her different phases and her time frames, mm-hmm. so you're looking at when she starts the process, one thing I like about using someone like that is that's the facilitator. They keep the ball moving. Because my concern would be that we go down this road and it takes us a year and a half to complete. If you look at what she's laid out here, it's about 8 months worth of time to implement, to go through the process. So 8 months, that delivers us to have a strategic plan in place for the 2025 year, you know, for year 2025.
Her rationale.
Yes.
Right. Versus us.
So if we look at the different phases, so we're saying for the first phase, we want to go all in with her.
Yeah, and I think, Shelley, you might have a difficult time kind of seeding that control, maybe, or maybe it's just you would, but I just think you have a lot of other responsibilities. So helping, yes, doing unnecessary when we have it in our budget to allow her to kind of get the ball rolling. This is what she does.
A template or something that gives her a new
for sure. I mean, that's a lot.
I guess we already have the template.
Yeah, I mean, she attended her class. I don't think we're recreating. This is how we found her, is that Shelley attended her actual, her beginning stages of a strategic plan course.
Okay.
And so she has gotten some insight. I'm sure you provided to her some details about, you know, our library as far as community, mm-hmm. and that's how you were able to come up with this template.
Well, and the other thing, so are we specifically talking about the $3,000 survey development and administration?
But we don't,
because I find value in that. Maybe not as much because the survey might be easier to create, but it's the administration of that and taking responsibility to get those replies.
Like, that would be totally taken off of your plate, Shelley.
But I mean, if you look at what the notes are, though, the print surveys available for distribution, library staff enter responses.
The library's still doing it.
The library's still doing it. So as far as administration, they're not recommending a mailed survey, so it's still a paper survey here that the library staff is recording the responses. So what are we saving by having her do that?
Versus.
Is it only paper? Because it says
print survey. It says print survey.
It's online, too.
Paper version, survey, and survey monkey.
But again, survey monkey.
And in paper.
Both setting up and collecting is once you have your questions done in half an hour. I don't think the value is necessarily, I mean, to me, the dream, the phase two, those are tougher discussions to lead because it's taking in the feedback from what you learn in step one. We've done elements of step one in the past. We did a staff session where we did a SWOT analysis, which is similar to a SOAR analysis.
Yes, we did.
We have some of those results from the past. Obviously, it needs to be redone because that was 3 years ago. You know, if we have the survey template, I just don't see $11,000 in value in step one at this point when we have a lot of those tools probably either
already done,
built or close to being built.
So we already have those templates in a sense.
We've done community surveys in the past.
Are we only questioning this?
$3,000?
No, because if you look at initial board and staff sessions, the SOAR analysis, we've done a similar process in the past.
administering a survey.
But as far as phase one, is that the only thing we're questioning?
Focus groups.
I think what...
I'm just saying that...
Ron, you feel that we have a lot of this already.
Correct.
Well, so Jason in the past, was when he was in the past, led the previous part of the... when we started, attempted the strategic plan,
okay.
He was part of that.
Yeah.
And so... I don't think we should pay the full in the beginning. I believe we need to pay it at the learn phase. Not the learn phase, the dream phase.
Yeah.
The dream you're paying $1,600 regardless.
So then she should come out and facilitate.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Once
exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you're saying that phase one, what we have, is 3 years old. So we
We need to redo it, but I don't think we have the framework to be able to redo those discussions.
How was our responses on the first survey?
No. Good question.
So, did we do SurveyMonkey on Facebook, I want to say?
On Facebook?
I want to say we put it out on social media, the link out, yeah. We'd have
the
to go
data,
back and listen.
Have to go back and retract the data.
In the mini session that I attended, spoke about responses in the single digits community-wide, and as that being a good response, which I think is...
We had higher than that, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
How did we
percentage,
have higher?
I don't remember.
If we're going to...
Single digit percentage.
How are we going to get responses?
Yes.
Like, I guess, I've sent out these surveys for different things.
Sure.
To a class I had every week, and I couldn't get people to respond. I'm like, please respond to the survey. And there were 5 questions, so that's what I'm asking. Do they have a strategy to get responses that we don't have?
Well, we have an internal marketing resource, too, right, that we can leverage to try and get the word out.
On social media.
For a push to get the survey responses.
So maybe.
And in the city.
More beneficial, obviously, than the original.
Which I feel like we would be doing either way. So, again,
this is where the team comes into play, the planning team. This is the first step, the planning team. Who's going to be on the team? Who's going to be a part of that? Even if we're bringing her in as the consultant, we still need to have a team from the staff, someone from the board, someone from, not the community yet, but a staff member and a board member to start the process and the director.
I think a schedule is really important.
I like your point.
It does.
We can do that either. I think at the end of the day, it's still our staff that are going to be holding to this schedule. Because I don't think she can drive any of these activities without our staff. So it's still having somebody kind of beating that drum and making sure that people are on that cadence. But either way, it's our staff holding us to the schedule. So.
Okay, so can we just, I'm going to go around. Everyone looked at the learn phase, correct? Some of us are saying the entire, let's just pay the money, have her do the entire phase. Can we go through and decide on how we want to move forward on this? Starting with Mr. What is your take on this?
I'm kind of with him, thinking that if we've done the survey in the past, I think we can handle that task. That's kind of the starting point. Yeah, we can start our timeline after that, but that's something we don't have to reinvent that wheel. We can start that process and then have her take the ball and run with it.
Okay. Okay. We have to have a team first. Survey.
My thought is all in on phase one because I feel like that's where you're going to be gathering all the information that's going to influence everything else that we're going to do in this project. So, I believe that with the list of libraries she has worked with, she brings a lot of different insight to this and can help to direct us. And yeah, I understand it's just a survey, but it also says that she's going to administer the survey, and then it says she's going to be involved in community needs assessment and provide a learning report. I think that those things are invaluable to start a project like this. So I would be in favor of phase one.
Okay.
I tend to agree with Rosie, but I really would like Shelley's input. I want you to be brutally honest.
Right.
I want you to, yes, I would like to save money, but I kind of kind of agree with Rosie. Like, if we did this 3 years ago, there's a lot of extra work that's involved in this. That
I just said, go on, you said 3 years ago. What happened to it?
Yeah.
Transition. Out, and Shelley came in. And so, here we are.
And we didn't go anywhere. You weren't using a consultant.
No, we didn't use a consultant. It was all done in-house by the board and the staff.
Sounds like our results are better than hers, though.
So you're saying you want to hear what Shelley, or you're saying you're all...
I kind of want to hear what Shelley has to say. I mean, obviously, I would think that you would have input in it, but the hours that would be spent would be, to me, more than $3,000 taken away from the hours that you or other staff members should be working and doing things at the library.
But that's if she does the consulting lay, it's $3,000. If it's
correct,
staff.
And I think that she should do all of it. I agree with Rosie.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, I agree with you ladies. I think that... And to me, the questions that are asked are so... I mean, that's going to drive everything after this.
Okay.
So we may think we know what questions to ask, but I think we really need this person's input on the survey.
I guess if our goal is the questions, do we consider the $1,300 option, though, to make sure we're working on the same question set?
Wait, where's that?
So
on the other side.
Basically, she provides the questions
on the other
and
side.
The structure.
Yeah.
For that phase one.
1300 versus 11.3.
There's still so much more work on Shelley's
end. It's not just
Shelley. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't understand your point.
I understand that.
So, if the fear is that we're not going to be aligned with the later phases, right, with the question sets and making sure we're gathering the right information, there's the $1,300 option where she still produces the surveys and the materials for us to be able to do that discovery portion.
But she's only providing templates.
Right.
Correct, but that's going to ensure that we're gathering the right information to be able to feed into those later discussions.
So I guess with this community survey, are they not giving us input on the questions?
For which part?
Like, what are we going to
community
include
survey.
I know, for which option, one or two?
One.
Well, the part where they do the work.
No, she's doing it. She's going to develop the actual instrument.
Right, that's my point.
She doesn't take any input from the team at all as to... Well, that's what you're asking, right? If she takes input...
I'm simple. My analogy is I try to fix my car all the time, and then I replace a part, and it still makes a noise.
Yeah.
So I take it to the mechanic. He's like, that wasn't the problem. This is the problem. So I want the expert to say what to ask in the survey. I guess that's what I'm saying.
But I guess that's the 1300 option, where she would guide us on what
to... I mean, 1300 is the total of all these.
Yeah, that's the total. If you're going
right.
to piecemeal, then...
But the
she's still, regardless,
but
the focus group and the interviews...
Yeah.
But she's meeting with the assistant.
I mean, if we're concerned about this item, could we just renegotiate this line item to something that would make more
community?
Sense?
Community survey development and administration, the second one.
Yeah,
that's the only one.
I think that's
the
only item we're questioning.
Okay.
We have to get phase one right.
I agree with the knowledge part of it, but I would like to see if she could take what we have and add it into what we're trying to do right now.
Why not?
Could you find that out from her, Shelley?
That would be a question prior to us. I mean, that would be perhaps a determining factor.
Yes. If she would take what we've already attempted to do a couple of years ago and use that to filter and create something that's new right now for what we wanted. Taking the previous community survey and working with us to create one now.
Well, that's what I had done.
Okay.
I had taken her examples, our community survey, and failed to say that along with the library.
And so so now that she knows that you did that from her course, would she still charge us that amount, being that you've already worked with her on that portion?
I will ask.
Okay.
Maybe instead of 30 hours, it would be 10.
Yeah.
Taking all of those components, obviously.
And what was your take on it? Just to hear...
I definitely question this. The survey portion of it is a very important aspect in coming up with a successful 3 to 5 year plan.
Mm-hmm.
obviously cost, having to take cost into consideration. I love that answer
yes.
as far as given through the course what we had, if there's a way to meld it and perhaps amend that cost, I would be curious about that. But I also do, I would be curious to hear Shelley's thoughts and such in regards to what this would put on her as a director, and if we have the resources and we have the savings that we have, that we can alleviate some of those with those extra resources of the cleaning company and things like that.
Okay.
Where we would it, you know, add right. extra to Shelley. Correct.
I think we do this just because this is just an observation. Maybe if we did it 3 years ago, even with the transition, we would have had something doing it, it would have got put to the side. That person would have known how to handle the transition and kept it the momentum. You're also saying, well, let's look at stuff we did 3 years ago. There's been a...
I don't think that's...
Yeah. So I kind of support this just to get it going, get the momentum, get it done.
Okay, for the full...
Yeah. Okay. And if we're seeing we're going to have the savings with the cleaning that's in our budget, and we can allocate it to this.
So it sounds like
we don't want to look at any other proposals or talk to any other
consultants
to just get a base understanding. My concern is we're agreeing to spend $11,000 to gather information. It's not to analyze it. It's not to have advice or somebody from the outside group. It's not to develop a report. $11,000 to gather information when we also have a list of other budget items that we're not able to accommodate as far as makerspace, increasing library hours. So we're making a decision based on one proposal to move forward and spend $11,000.
Not making the decision just yet.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes, we're not making the decision. So
it's always good to have
multiple. So even though she's highly recommended by the library community, could you look into two others? Maybe some of the libraries that you spoke with, maybe they did the same search and searched out others, and then she was the one that they selected. Perhaps they can give you two other consultants before we make a decision on...
I will tell you that I know that she is...
Well,
probably one of the only ones that do a la carte.
Yes. Okay. We'll keep that into consideration. And I like the fact that she works for the library and therefore and worked with libraries. That makes a difference.
The library. Yes. It sounds even from her what she was saying, the size of the library.
So we will revisit this again next month. We have to.
So next month do we... anticipate having other...
Well, Shelley's going to do her research on the other two.
Because if next month all we have are names, I mean, we're going to lose... So if the... By next month, Shelley, what do you anticipate you may have?
Well, we could either have proposals or we can do the same thing and have someone come in and talk, or...
Because if we're comparing price,
proposals.
Then you have to have the same scope. You can't use price as a basis.
I guess we never determine scope. We're handed our scope, right?
Right. I know. So,
two more.
I mean, do we agree with this process?
Which process that we're saying?
That's here, and that would that be?
Compare apples to apples.
Use as her initial to go to other consultants, yes. She can go to them and say, I would like a proposal.
So this is kind of the workflow that was done the first time.
It's similar, yes.
Similar. It was just a SWOT analysis.
I guess what we were missing last time, which I was hoping, that's kind of where I was drilling in on the questions here, was just a consultant that's willing to bring in industry information and trends, right? I mean, to me, if you're going to pay a consultant to drive the process, you want them advising on what they see lacking in our library, what they see out on the market, what they see us capable to do with our budget. I don't get a sense that that's part of that process.
No.
So
she said it was intellectual property for the other library.
She had to be the size of the library.
And then our library was smaller.
Yes. So, I mean, to me, if we're going to engage a consultant, rather than them being a facilitator, because you could get a project manager to run a lot of this. Now, granted, they're not going to know the questions that, but I would love to have that industry knowledge as part of the input on the process, in addition to what we're gathering from our staff and community.
And she has the industry. So we're going away with her. This is what we want, because we're not going to make a decision on... Go ahead.
And to tap out to Jason, can we specifically email her, ask her that specifically? I think what you asked, you didn't... Maybe I
too detailed. It wasn't enough detail.
Maybe you didn't give her enough detail. Okay. Let's just point blank answer. Ask her. We had another question. Do you bring in other, you know, what's happening in the industry?
I got that she didn't.
No. Yeah. And she said she
got
to check.
She said she got to check with the other library.
No, maybe you didn't ask about the library. You know, I mean, we're not asking specifics. No.
She said it was really driven by the public feedback and the staff feedback. So.
Which is the intellectual
their community.
Right.
But the deliverable is this learning report, like all these activities lead up.
Right? Yes. Yes.
And we don't know what that's going to look like.
No. Not until she actually gets in to get the data.
I think that's a good point, Jason. After, you know, 8 months and it's like, we want to know, should we do the makerspace or...
Yeah.
I think that's what we're trying to understand.
Correct.
Like, the next
where we, what
3 years
vision
plus.
Is, where are we going to be in 3 to 5 years? Did you get that, Shani?
Yes.
Okay.
I will search out two other...
You can just ask your... Library directors committee if they know any other so then if you want to if you get the information prior to and think that we need to have a meeting, let us know. Okay. Future planning, library planning discussion.
Facilities manager reached out to electric company and they came in with a quote to do that for us, and that proposal's on page 58. So I believe they originally had thought, the city and the facilities manager, that it would be a $5,000 cost, and the quote came in at $3,693.
Wow.
So that is under my staff authorization level. We can move forward and get that done.
Okay.
That's
really good.
That would not affect the budget.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, you had requested that an RFP be drafted. So Jesus Navarro, he's the facilities manager, contacted Trico and for a quote for specs for RFP. They said staff feels reasonable with this price work of $4,000. They didn't think there was anyone on the city staff that could do this work in-house. So Trico will draw up the draft. They said it could take up to 30 days to do.
Shelly, can I interrupt?
Sure.
We're going to have Trico draft the RFP for the chiller replacement?
This is what they tell me, yes.
Why?
This is the city's decision? Not an engineer?
Well, it'll probably be one of their engineers.
They're engineers.
I don't think it's going to be.
But they would possibly do the work.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Bid for the work.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that done before, but they would know if that's allowed. But that's
yeah, that's crazy when they get to bid for it.
It's a bit unusual.
You would want a neutral engineer, ideally, to draw up the RFP.
I know.
What happened?
I know we had a few firms that were mentioned before or recommended.
So are we saying that we want a second? Because I know your expertise in the building.
There's 100 engineers in the state that can do this.
Okay.
That's a good price. I mean, that's a good price. But it's...
You said approximately.
To put out for bid, usually you'd have an engineer put that together.
So should we go back and find out?
Someone that's neutral and not involved at this point, or potentially... Yeah.
I would just question.
Can you ask Shelley?
Yeah, I would just question.
You want to go try to pull
up
engineer?
No, they're saying why is Trico involved?
I mean, they could, in theory, design the bid document so that.
Yeah, I think it may put them in question if they're low bidder. I think that could muddy it later. And I think Trico is an excellent company. I'd hate for that to complicate anything down the road.
Yeah, we can ask Shelley, can you find out for us on that particular item? And then the HVAC system replacement. Giving us a list of all the things that we discussed in the meeting. Okay.
Is that going to include removal of the old rooftop yet?
Yes, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that says that.
Yes,
well,
it does.
Removal of the old number four is the LED lighting throughout the building. Mr. Navarro has a meeting with a Verde representative next week. I believe they're coming here to do a walkthrough. So right now they are still working up a proposal. It's under review. It wasn't ready at packet when the packet was created last week. So that is still ongoing.
Okay.
And basically that is where they... gotten with the request you guys had, other than number six. I believe you guys had questions on lifespans of all the things that we had on the original list, so they listed those out as well.
And that was done, all done by the Mr. Navarro?
Yes. Yep.
Is that, we were talking about it would potentially be done before the winter.
Insulation. Right. Yep, that has not been addressed yet. Yeah, number five, none of these have been addressed.
You said there were going to be
Yes. So then the only...
Yep.
So Shelley, based on all the projects that we discussed, the first one is the one that we could actually tackle and move forward on. The other one, number two, to go back and find out, neutral.
Why Rachel is doing this proposal?
That's what, yeah.
Not someone else.
Yes. And then number three, we indicated to be determined. Still in to be determined. And then part A of number three, LED lighting is still ongoing and is still under review for proposal. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. We were all at the meeting, so these were the things that we discussed, and we were all okay with the update.
Mm-hmm. Exterior wall paint. It's not 11 years old, right? Because we had a repayment.
Yes.
What? Before COVID.
Yeah, it was probably 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Probably
around
five. Yeah. Because they have 11 on here. It should only be about 5 years old. Okay. So, we're done with that. So now we'll move on. If everybody's good with that, we're moving on to... Go ahead.
You're asking about payment. Is there any way that the spreadsheet or something that says, oh, this year...
She started...
Okay.
With all the things, changes that's happening with the building, that's something that
Dixie had that list, right? That was pretty detailed. But I don't remember if it's in.
It's so-so. I think I can pull it up. She's updating it, so as she updates it, I'm sure she'll give us.
And those are, I mean, those are typically industry. Those lifespans are industry guidelines, so you have to look at your particular product and building. And I mean, I've looked carefully at this exterior, you know, myself. So there's some unique materials used. It's a beautiful building, you know. But to get a beautiful building,
maintenance.
If you want it simple, just, you know, do CMU block and paint it. But that's not what we have. We have an attractive building, so we have to make sure we take
care
of it.
Let me keep it attractive. I agree. Okay, so we'll move on to new business. I see you gave us, Shelley, a disaster plan update.
Yes. So, that's not in your packet. This was because there's cell phone numbers and addresses in that.
Okay.
Or staff. Uh-huh. But this is... disaster plan that we had, it's
updated.
It was created in 2019 and we updated it in 21. I've added purpose of the plan. We had to change the succession a little bit, and a definition of, you'll see throughout this plan, sometimes it'll say PIC or it'll say person in charge. It's just saying if there's not myself or a manager, who goes to and makes the decisions when we're not here. So that's, you'll see that pick.
Thank you.
I added on page 4 blood and airborne pathogens. That wasn't in our disaster plan before.
Okay.
And something that's required. Page 6. I added bomb threat. That was just a brief line before. Mm-hmm. This is a
actual
checklist, and we'll have this at the desk in case this ever happens. The person taking the phone call can write down as much information as they can get. And then there's a checklist of procedure.
Thank you, Shelley, for being proactive and updating this.
Page 8 is dangerous or armed person attack. We have had these things in ours before. I've just updated a couple of the first three paragraphs. Basically, it's this really the same information as hide or run, hide, fight.
Yes.
This was from an in-service we did with the police a while back, mm-hmm. and this was information that they had given us. I added on page 15 a media relations, just basically stating that the only people that are authorized to speak to the media would be myself or the board president, and telling staff, you know, what to say if they are approached by the media. The tornado portion on page 16, I've just added a little bit more information on that because it was really brief before. Disaster recovery is the same, and actually, if we were ever in a situation, we would be calling a service company and they would be performing these if our collection was damaged. I updated our vendor call list on page 27. Our items for vendors that have changed. Again, this is at all the service desks as well, in case something happened. We have our fire extinguishers, fire alarms, and our escape pods on here as well. There's our current library board, and the last page is a phone list for all city departments.
Thank you for being proactive in that. And now on to approve reference service policy. And I'm going to let Ms. Carey take over the portion of the policies. We have two to approve, the reference service policy, and then update the public comment policy.
So we have, through our committee meeting, we have put forth a reference policy draft that you see here. Is that correct, Shelley?
Yes, we never had a reference service policy before.
So this is
this is new. Yes. Policy is new, so we are bringing it to the board for approval. It has passed through committee and is now presented to the board for approval.
So if you guys can look through the policy.
And that's reference service policy for draft.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstack?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Fasola?
Yes.
Nelszewski?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Next item is to approve the updated public comment policy.
Yes. That was adopted on May 9th, revised today. This, too, is a draft, which has also made it out of the policy committee and here for the board to approve.
Thank you.
motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Rystek?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes. Approve updated York Republic Library statements.
So the mission, the value, and the vision statement, I just included in the packet. We're not talking about them because these are what will be done with our new strategic plan. We'll be updating all of those.
Which ones are those? What pages?
65.
Page 65, she just included because it's part of it. It's not updated. It's just a part of
Right. So the library bill of rights are, nothing's changed on these. We just reviewed them. This is all we've done on the library bill of rights. The freedom to read statement, the freedom to view statement, the American Association Code of Ethics. I believe this was used to be called.
So these are just,
yes.
You cleaned them up and made them nice.
Correct. So they did add number 9.
Which page?
On page 73, I think. You guys insert number.
No. So which statement?
G.
G. Under statement, code of ethics.
Number 9.
You don't have a 9. Oh, in the back. Sorry.
Sorry.
So that was
that
the only one updated.
Added. So that's why I have this as revised.
Okay. So the first two were not revised. They were just reviewed. By the policy committee. And then the G, code of ethics, was revised because of number 9.
I will state that when we were in our policy meeting, I struggle with these. I don't care for the ALA dictating our policy. I would rather have control over at the local level, where we can quote, protect the rights of the U.S. and Illinois Constitution, even if the ALA does not. So that's my struggle with that.
And that's fine. And so we will move on to make the decision as to how the policy will perform. So the first three were only reviewed?
Yes, we just reviewed the first three.
Okay. So the one that's being updated
G.
is G. And what about H? Oh, you're not there yet. Okay.
So we get to vote on the
yes.
motion. We should vote on G.
Yes, G first.
There was an addition.
She added number 9.
So I make a motion to adopt as presented.
Roll call.
Rystek?
No.
Schumacher?
Abstain.
Hedman?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next item is the York Republic Library Board bylaws.
We have to do
H. Is that it? What happened with H? This is H, correct? Public Library Trustee Ethics Statement.
That used to be,
the ethics?
Yes, it's
the Code of Ethics is what it used to be called, the Code of Ethics, but it no longer exists, and this is taking its place.
So our old Code of Ethics, this is replacing the old Code of Ethics that was in our policy manual.
Correct.
So it's being adopted. Roll call.
Yes. Schumacher?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Pisola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
And then Shelly, this on the end, others.
The last one is the board bylaws.
Which page?
Last revised.
Page?
September of 2018. It's the last one in the
package. Okay, so it says draft.
Yes.
Okay. What were the changes? Okay. What were the changes? What were the changes?
There were multiple changes that we talked about it.
Yes.
The policy committee.
So then we have to review them? I reviewed it already. So this one we can't vote on. I mean, we can read it, but we won't vote to change it.
That's fine.
Assuming that's the same.
Put it in.
Yes.
Business.
Okay. So we'll just have to give notice that.
We can table it.
Okay. So the last, that's good. I'm glad you caught that. So the last one we won't. Yeah.
Huh? I make a motion to table this to the next meeting.
Second.
Yeah.
And so the next meeting will approve the bylaws.
In the future, would it be possible when we did something? Because she said there's a lot of changes for not being on the committee meeting and not having my other work to prepare. Or is there, I mean, we have what we have.
Sure.
See the changes.
What all the changes are.
Sure. Yeah.
And just since I know it came up earlier, but page 65 was the result of our last effort in 2019.
Yes.
So if anybody is curious what
was.
Came out of all that, 65 was what
and a lot of that has been completed.
Yes. And that's what we kept trying to say.
Yep.
Okay, so we don't have any other business tonight.
Page 65 was the result of our last strategic planning in 2019.
Yes.
Somebody was asking why we get out of that. The end result.
So since we don't have any other business, I make a motion that we adjourn.